You're listening to the Daily Business News Podcast from BBC Radio Ulster. Bad news about one of the pillars of our economy, the agri-food sector. Over the last 12 months, we've heard a lot about the agri-food sector. It's one of the fastest growing areas of the economy, exporting lots of produce, a real niche Northern Irish brand. And in October, we heard this.
The agri-food loan scheme has been put in place by the executive, making funds available from government but via the banks.
Yes, the first phase of this has £10 million committed to it and will be targeted at the development of broiler houses to help expand poultry production. It'll be based around what they say is a simple single application form which will be used both to apply to Invest NI for the funds and for the bank.
The executive backing food producers to get loans to expand and supply the growing demand from UK supermarkets quickly. But now it turns out that making more food isn't going to be that fast at all. The finance minister has said,
due to delay in the implementation of the agri-food loan scheme, the Department for Enterprise, Trade and Investment surrendered £10 million in this round.
Go slow.
£10 million, ready and waiting, but the scheme hasn't got going, so the money's been withdrawn until at least next year. I asked Clark Black from the Ulster Farmers Union if hopes were just too high for the agri-food sector.
There's no doubt about it, there was large expectations, and farming and delivering increased production at a primary level is certainly a long-term investment and a long-term process.
In a lot of ways, this is frustrating for food producers, though, because there's more that supermarkets would order from Northern Ireland if there was more capacity to produce it, if we had more chicken sheds, if we had more sausage factories or whatever the different elements are.
And that, in summary, is just the challenge that farmers face on a day-to-day basis. You can't just switch on production. And that's the, I guess, is a little bit maybe a frustration from a pure economist point of view of saying, why can we not build this up quickly? But it does take time.
Do you think maybe the executive rushed in to announce this because it's good news, it sounded like a great deal?
There's nothing wrong with having high aspirations or high hopes. If we're a little bit behind the curve on that, that's only a timing issue, and that will come, and it will come and deliver strongly in the years to come.
Take it easy like you should.
But it's not just the executive who've taken their time getting this scheme in gear. Is this another case where bankers aren't rushing to part with their cash?
Cormac McKerby, head of agriculture for Ulster Bank. This is now banks, farmers and the government through Derry trying to work together. And on our side, it has been slow. There's been a lot of detailed work gone into it, particularly in terms of the legalities of it. Obviously, our normal business is that we deal directly with the farmer. And when there's a third party involved, all parties have to be happy with that. And it is slow, it's tedious, but we're getting there. It was launched quite a while ago. You know, I suppose people feel, where's the drag? But the truth of it is, we're all just trying to get it right, so that when it gets up and running, it will be right.
The frustrations for those working in the agri-food sector because of delays to that agri-food loan scheme.
An increasingly familiar story, problems with the banking system this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend it was Lloyds, it was yesterday afternoon. In fact, card payments not processed for about 3 or 4 hours. So it's just one of those glitches yet again. Last December, just last month, the Royal Bank of Scotland suffered a similar problem. It's only obviously a short problem, it was resolved in a couple of hours' time. It's not the whole banking system like we saw with RBS a year or so ago, when it of course affected weeks worth of Ulster Bank customers. But it really is symptomatic. It's symptomatic of obviously problems happening behind the scenes in big banking companies. Frances Coppola is an independent IT banking expert, and she has a bit of an explanation.
The older banks still have systems that go back a long time. Many of these systems were first built sort of decades ago, at a time when we didn't have these mission-critical card payment systems where you expect to pay with a debit card in the evening or something when the bank is closed. It wasn't like that back in the 1970s, 1980s when these systems were built. And we've become dependent on that, but these systems kind of haven't caught up. I think it's instructive, actually, that it is RBS and Lloyds that have been affected with this, because both of those are banks that are suffering considerable change. RBS is being restructured internally. Lloyds has recently carved out a whole chunk of itself to form a new bank. The focus tends to be on front-end systems, whether they be trading systems or customer-facing systems through online banking and so forth, and they do in the plumbing. And we're all guilty of that, don't we? We replace our kitchens and we go for the kitchen units and perhaps cut corners on the plumbing.
Cutting corners on the plumbing, I'm sure you're never guilty of that, Colin.
News about 50 pence tax rate, Coletta, back on the political agenda at least.
Yeah, it's all over the front pages, and of course it was the top of the agenda this weekend as Labour announced plans to reintroduce the 50 pence tax rate. So they introduced it when they were in power last time. The Conservatives reduced it to 45 pence top tax rate in the pound. So that's, of course, just for anyone earning over £150,000 that they essentially have to give half their money back in taxes. That's what the Labour are hoping to reintroduce. Lots of controversy in the business world saying it could potentially detract from entrepreneurs living in the UK, from businesses setting up in the UK, and of course others claiming that it's most definitely necessary in order to cut the deficit.
Yeah, now, you should provide answers, Coletta, but I gather you've got a question for us.
Yes, the question is, guess where the world's biggest Himalayan salt chamber is?
It's Carrick Fergus.
Well, you're close in that it's in Northern Ireland, but it's in Moira, apparently. Hanan Meats is investing £250,000 in a big expansion of their premium meat aging plant, including creating the world's biggest Himalayan salt chamber.
What's Himalayan bit mean?
Presumably Himalayan salt is different from regular salt.
It's so old because it's from the Himalayas, which were once underwater 10 million years ago or something.
Okay.
Thanks for extra info there, Noel. Invest Northern Ireland.
I just guessed that.
Invest Northern Ireland are putting in £40,000 worth of funding, which means that the company can take on 8 more staff before the end of March, bringing the total number of people they employ up to 30. The aim of the investment is to allow them to chase up opportunities outside of Northern Ireland. And Hannah Meats also say that the investment will benefit local farmers who supply Glenarm Shorthorn and Europe Angus cattle. Finally for me, the FTSE a few moments ago was down 82 points at 65.81, taking a big fall this morning after falls on Friday too because of worries about emerging markets. At the moment it's sitting at 65.81, and on the currency markets the pound's worth $1.65 or €1.20, meaning the euro's worth 82 pence today. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Don't forget you can subscribe online if you'd like the podcast delivered straight to your phone or to your desktop every morning.